We went through a little bit on Thursday. Matthew 2. I'll go ahead and give a brief outline of what we discussed. And then we'll go on from there. Thursday night we went through verses 1 through 8 in Matthew, and we saw how these wise men were called wise, how they studied the scriptures, and how they feared God. And we saw how the chief priests and the scribes are hypocrites. They tell the truth when it benefits them, they tell a lie when it benefits them. And that's what a hypocrite will do. Not only that, we saw how that an improper motive, when you go into a Bible study, can lead to your deception. How Herod was deceived by the scribes and the chief priests, because he didn't even bring a Bible in there with him. He had no scriptures to read to check them out. He didn't check them out, otherwise he would have found out that they misquoted and butchered up the scriptures in Micah 5. And he's thinking he's dealing with a man, and he's really dealing with God here when he's going after him, trying to take him out. And then, which shows us that without a heart-filled love for the Word of God and in a Bible study, it could lead to the death of a lot of people. And then we want to do a little bit about how we have it so good here in America, and in other countries it's not that way, like communist countries and countries that are ruled by the papal. People, if they bring back the wrong person to their congregation, they could end up wiping them all out. You got to be careful not to bring a Herod back. And so we're in verse 9. The Bible says, Matthew 2, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. We're going to go in and talk a little bit about a star here. Lo, the star. In the Bible, there's two types of stars defined in the King James Bible. In any other Bible, you won't find one of the definitions, because they remove a word. It's only one word, but they remove it, and we don't get that definition. We're going to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, and we'll start reading there. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the land, and God called the dry land earth. Now, I'm just wondering, because he said, in the beginning, God made the heaven and the earth. Now, I'm wondering if he's calling dry land earth, that's the definition of earth. If his plan is to populate the other planets, then I'm just wondering if the dry land there is going to be called earth as well. It's one of those things that caught me this morning when I was going through this, but I figured I'd just throw it out there. And God said, and let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, verse 11, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielded fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now, he made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So the purpose of these stars, the purpose of the sun, the purpose of the moon is to give light on the earth. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Hey, did anybody notice last month? I don't know if you got up early enough or not, but I'm out in the refinery doing gas tests in the morning so that guys can go to work. I check the atmosphere out there so they start their equipment, they don't blow up. Well, I'm out there and I'm listening to the news on the radio as I'm driving from one place to another. And I hear this thing on the radio that there's these planets that you can see in the morning from 5 to 6:30 or 5:30 to 6:30. And I think they said it was Jupiter and Venus? Is that what the ones were? But anyway, there was these two big lights in the sky. And they weren't planes. And you know what they look like? We call them planets, but they look like stars up there. And it's pretty interesting because the one word that all these other Bibles, was looking them up in the morning just to double check. I was looking them up on the internet just to double check. 2 Kings 23. We'll go there. 23, 1 through 5. And look at the context of these planets here. When we get to the word planets here. The Bible says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. I'm in verse 1 or 2. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal. Why are they in the temple? These guys are priests. Okay, so bring forth of the temple of the Lord and all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the field of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained. These are leaders ordaining these priests to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets. Where in Genesis do you find the word planets? They're stars. And so God's given us another word here for the stars. They're planets. And to all the hosts of the heaven. Or all the hosts of heaven. And so, not only can a star be a star up there, but God gives us another word for it as a planet. And we use that word today. Planet. The planet Jupiter, the planet Venus, the planet Mars, and so on. But all the other Bibles, they take that word out. Because they want to take a definition that God wants you to know. They want to take that out of there and throw it aside so that you understand what they want you to understand, and that it's a constellation up there. Well, God uses the word constellation in his Bible. He doesn't use it here. He uses planet. He uses constellation somewhere else. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about that this morning. Yeah, you're right. That's pretty interesting. And so you have a city in California called Los Angeles. And it's interesting what that word means. It means the angels. And it's pretty interesting. You know what people are really worshiping today? They're worshiping stars. They're worshiping stars. They're worshiping the stars of the movie films that they're watching. Men and women and angels. The Bible warns us about worshiping angels in Colossians 2:18. Colossians 2:18. The Bible says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." The only angels that I know that would be seeking worship in this world are fallen angels. Because the Bible warns us clearly here, we're not to be worshiping angels. And it's funny because that's another definition for a star. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation 1:19. 1:19. The Bible says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." And so, there's another definition in the Bible for what a star is. And as I said before, the only angel that would be seeking worship is a fallen angel. And the reason why I say that is because if you go to Revelation 19:10, this is the context of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible says in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed art they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And go with me to 22:8-9. It's the same, almost the same thing, except it throws something else in there. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, See thou do it not. There it is again. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." And so we're not supposed to be worshiping angels. But there's one angel out there that I know, he wants to be seeking you to worship him. And go with me if you would, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Kind context here is satanic ministers and the churches and the perversions of Bible in these churches. The Bible says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this, verse 10, of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Doesn't say he's as an angel of light. It says he is transformed into an angel of light. And we know he wants you to worship him, because he wanted Jesus Christ to worship him. And if he can try to get Jesus Christ to worship him, you know he's going to try to get you to worship him. If you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Matthew 4:9. The authority's there. Matthew 4:9. The Bible says, here's the angel, verse 8, and again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And so here we are. Here we have an angel who's the devil's transformed into an angel of light, will seek to get worship from you. And he don't care how you give it to him, whether it's by worshiping the stars in the movies of Hollywood, or worshiping an idol in a church. He doesn't care. He just wants you to worship him. The only right angel that would let you worship him would be the angel of the Lord, which is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man will never, never take you to Jesus Christ unless the Lord's inside of him, and the Lord will guide that man to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. But man by himself will never take you there. And so here you have this light, Matthew 2, or the star. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now what makes more sense? What makes more sense here? That there's a planet leading these men to where Jesus is? Or does it make more sense that there's a star, an angel, that appeared to these men that have studied the scriptures? We don't have any account in here that they actually heard anything from this thing. But look at what it does. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, if you look up in the sky and you see a star up there, are you going to be able to pinpoint a house by what you see in the sky? Unless this beam of light or this planet comes down and stands right over the top of the house, which would pretty much destroy the house and everything on the earth. Or a big light beam comes down from a planet and shines right under the top of the house. Now look at what it says. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They just got out of a meeting with Herod. And there's no star in the sky. So that gets you to kind of think, hey, this thing is appearing and disappearing, and it's reappearing at when it wants to. So it's not some star that's just standing up there and just waiting for these wise men to come out of this meeting with Herod, because it says right there, when they had heard the king, they departed. When they got there, they were looking for the boy, or this one that was born king of the Jews. So obviously the star wasn't there when they got there, otherwise they wouldn't have had to ask the question. And now they get out of this meeting and there's this star again. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They probably were rejoicing because they thought it was gone and they weren't going to find it. That's why they had to ask the questions. And now the star is back and they don't have to ask anybody any more questions. So they're going to get clear direction here. So does it make more sense that this planet was moving in the sky? Or does it make more sense that, hey, the Bible's got two definitions for a star. So what would fit here? What would fit here? Would a star fit here? A planet fit here? Or would an angel fit here? Okay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read chapter 2, verse 1 through 18, and then we're going to compare it and contrast it with Luke. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." See, Herod's intent is not to kill all these children. His intent is to kill one person. And we know that because of his reaction when the wise men don't show back up. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way, probably back towards the east, because they were coming from the east. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. So he's slain the children in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. So it seems like it's of Bethlehem. From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired of the wise men. The result of the little Bible study he had with them was he got an answer from them of when they saw the star. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." Now, I said, I emphasized young child a couple of times because it's throughout the scripture there. Young child, young child, young child. And it appears, because we saw here, that he wasn't, they didn't come to a manger. They came to a house. He didn't come to a manger. He came to a house. Or they came to a house. Not only that, but Herod killed every child 2 years and under in Bethlehem and the coast thereof, based on what he had found out from those wise men. And so, from the information we see here in Matthew, the wise men were not at a manger when they approached Jesus, and they probably didn't arrive in Bethlehem the day they saw the star, or even a week. It almost seems like they're in Jerusalem and the star shows them where this house is. And I don't know why it's 2 years. Hey, if I look at a baby, that baby looks the same to me. I don't care if it's a year old or a year and a half old. To me, to a mother now, that's a different story. And we'll go into that a little bit later. But to me, I would leave myself a buffer zone so that when somebody starts growing hair, maybe then you could tell the difference. But I don't believe that it was 2 years since they saw this star. Hey, nobody's going to wait that long to go and look for this boy, this one that's born king of the Jews. Nobody's going to wait that long. But it has to be some time. It has to be some time. Go to Luke passage, Luke 2:8. Let's read this passage here real quick, and then we'll go into some more stuff. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So, from these verses, the shepherds are going to see this babe at night, probably the same night that Jesus was born, because they're in Bethlehem, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and these shepherds are there. The wise men, they're not there in the house with these people, or in the house with these people, because they're in a house. They find Jesus here in a manger, unless that manger was in a house. But I don't think so. I think a manger is out in a barn somewhere. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. It teaches they're there at two different times. Jesus is meeting two different groups of people at two different times. They're not the same time. And man teaches that by the way they observe the Christmas holiday, that the wise men and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the animals and all these other things are there at the same time. And what that teaches, you know what that shows you about man? They could care less what the Bible says. They don't care. At this particular time of the year, I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I want to do. And so that's the way they observe it. They observe it as Jesus' birthday, where there's nothing to indicate that these wise men are there on his birthday, giving him gifts. And there's nothing in the Luke passage saying that the shepherds gave him anything. Now, I printed out some pictures. I went online. You could take a look at them later. I'll leave them up here on a pew. Here's a nativity scene. You got three wise men with their gifts, with Mary. And it looks like Joseph, but it could be a shepherd. No shepherds and an angel. And you can go online and you can see they change it up so much. You don't even know what's the truth anymore there. But not only that, if that's the case, if that's true, you have to say that's not a biblical representation of Christianity. You have to say it. You can't not say that. Because the Bible teaches something else. And here's another picture. This is a Hindu temple. And you got this little green dude sitting under an umbrella with a child in his hand and his hand out like this, like an Indian, in the Wild Wild West saying, "How?" And he's surrounded by a bunch of women. We know that's not a biblical representation of Christianity because there's nothing in the Bible about that. Then you got a Catholic cathedral or place of worship. And here you have a picture of Mary with another girl bowing down to her, looks like worshiping her. This is a statue in one of these places. And we know that that's not a biblical representation of Christianity. Now, I don't know if you've all seen the manger scene, but I've seen it, and it's got the three wise men there, and it's got the shepherds, and it's got the gifts, and it's got all that stuff. And so, why is it that we'll amen to the Catholics, Mary, the idolatrous of the Catholics worshiping Mary, and we'll amen to the Hindu temple being not a biblical representation, but when you bring that up to a Baptist about the nativity scene or the manger scene, he gives you this look and he doesn't want to talk to you anymore. Why is that? None of them are biblical representations of Christianity. Again, it shows you man's heart. Man's heart is, we don't care what God says as long as we care what God says as long as it doesn't interfere with our traditions that we've been holding for so very long, and we can't tell our children we've been lying to them now after all these years. But anyway, you mention that in any other church around here, they'll never have you back. They'll pull away from you. I mentioned to a guy at work, and he just doesn't want to talk to me too much anymore. Because Christmas is coming up and he's buying all these gifts already. Here's another thing with these gifts. Where at do you find, if it's Jesus' birthday and the wise men are bringing gifts to Jesus, you've got this, God's looking down from heaven and on December 31st and he sees a bunch of people, Christians, and all these other people coming down the stairs or coming into the living room with this tree there decked with lights that is nowhere here in the manger scene or where these wise men are in a house, and they go down there and they've got all these gifts and they've got all these names on these gifts and they start opening and opening and opening and the Lord's looking up there and he says, where's Jesus' gift? If this is Jesus' birthday and you're worshiping Jesus on his birthday, how come he doesn't have anything? It's amazing stuff. We don't even think about this stuff. But what if your kid, I don't have any kids, but what if one of your kids, you had a birthday party for one of your kids, and they came and gave gifts to everybody else but your kid? What would you think? Another myth here. You know what? We'll say we're worshiping Jesus on Christmas, yet it doesn't line up with the scriptures. How is that a worship of Jesus Christ if it doesn't line up with scriptures? It can't be. Same thing with the Bibles. Nobody cares if you read a King James Bible, but you start kicking their gods and saying that all these other Bibles are perversions, and then they get mad at you. Same thing with the Christmas holiday. You kick somebody's God and they're going to get mad at you. And they worship their mind. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping man and his traditions. Another myth here. There's nothing in the passage about three wise men. There's nothing here that says there's only three wise men. Or that they came on Jesus' birthday, like we just discussed. Or that they were even Gentiles. However, you know that they studied the Bible because there's no mention of the angels or this star speaking to these men. But yet, in the Luke passage, you have angels speaking to men. In the Luke passage, you have shepherds. They're identified by their occupation, by their trade, by what they do for a living. However, in the Matthew passage, you have wise men. They could be fishermen, they could be shepherds, they could be carpenters. We don't know what their occupation was, but we know that they were wise. And because they studied the scriptures, because they fear God and they listen to him. All right, now concerning this time frame, when the wise men arrived at Jerusalem, there had to be some time gone. Because Herod is targeting a certain age of people, and only after, and he seems to be only targeting Jesus until the wise men mock him. Once the wise men mock him, see, he's already got another plan in his head. He doesn't care if the wise men mock him because he's got another way to get Jesus. Okay, the possibility is at least 41 days have passed. At least. We're going to go and see why here, and then we'll be done. Leviticus 12:1. Leviticus 12 done, and then we'll go through this real quick. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That's the son. It's the boy. And she shall then continue in her blood of purification 3 and 30 days. So 8 plus 33 is 41 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification be fulfilled. But if she bear a man-child, then she'll be unclean for 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. So She has to go and give her sacrifice to the priest in Jerusalem. And we know that it's got to be at least so much time has passed because she's got no gold yet, she's got no myrrh, and she's got no frankincense. Otherwise, she wouldn't be giving turtle doves. Those are rich gifts. That would make that family a very wealthy family. And so that's how we can kind of see that those wise men didn't get there at the manger scene. They got there after the manger scene. For one, she brought a poor lady's gift for her sacrifice to two turtle doves instead of bringing any type of gold or any type of myrrh or buying the lamb. She didn't have enough money to buy the lamb. Otherwise, she'd have been violation of scriptures there. And the Lord, hey, we know what the Lord does if you act more spiritual than what you are not. He'll strike you dead. And we'll say that is about it. Oh, this is why I say this about these children. Do you remember King Solomon? King Solomon in the Old Testament. There was these two ladies. And these two ladies, one of the ladies' child died. And one of the ladies' children was alive. And they were arguing amongst themselves whose it was. And the only way for the king to tell, because he was wise, he said, I'll chop the baby in half and give one to one and one to the other. And then the true mother came out. So that's the reason why I say that about that. And I can look at the babies and say, I don't know which one is. I still can't even tell who's Jordan and who's Peyton. All right, we'll stop there and we'll go ahead and pray, and that'll be it for today. Father in heaven, we thank you for your words. Thank you that you give us a copy to read, Lord, preserved perfectly. And it's just a blessing, Lord. And we pray that we would just continue to study your words and be open to what you have to say and not care what man thinks, but care what you think. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.